You're listening to Tivovo Digital, the podcast.
Bulla and welcome to TivovoRugby.com, the podcast. I'm Kaldam Kamir. Duty of care, what exactly does it mean? I ask this question because in this day and age, I think duty of care has taken on new meaning over a much longer period of time and covering so much more than it used to. So when we were growing up as kids in Fiji, it seems that just about every adult had a duty of care over us, especially my big Tongan aunties, Dolores, now in the US. Any one of them could have just as easily given me a big wallop or an all-enveloping bear hug. And that's still the case in many villages around Fiji and the Pacific today. Every adult has a duty of care over all the kids running around the village rah-rah. Bigwig lawyers like John Apted, however, may define duty of care slightly differently. As a legal obligation which requires a standard of reasonable care while performing any acts that could foreseeably harm others. Further, that duty of care may be considered a formal social contract held by one party towards the other. When exactly does duty of care start and end? I ask this question in the light of the recent very tragic deaths of Wainga Tuingamala and Choeli Vindiri last month, plus in 2015 the sad passing of Jonah Lomu, and in 2017 All Black strongman Sione Luaki also died.
Tuingamala goes! Tuingamala over the 22! Tuingamala all the way! A magnificent score!
Line, Auckland's territory. Spencer again, working the grubber for Joelle Vendieri. This is dangerous. He's the quickest man on the field, and that is going to be a try. Pretty to watch. The two All Blacks, Carlos Spencer and Joelle Vendieri, show how it's done.
Who steps outside? Cuts inside. He's still not down. He's over! And Lomu.
Got a nice pass away. Still going. Here's a chance. Luaki! Sione Luaki!
What a substitution. Luaki's got an eye for the line.
All Black 1055, Sione Luaki, was 1.594 metres tall and 115 kg. He played for Auckland from 2002 to 2004, plus 70 games for the Chiefs from 2004 to 2010. Luaki also played 17 tests for the All Blacks from 2005 to 2008. And from 2010 to 2012, he played club rugby in France. In fact, in February 2012, he was diagnosed with renal failure and cardiovascular problems while undergoing a medical checkup by his French club, and was immediately released from his contract to return to New Zealand, where Sione Luaki later died on the 12th of February 2017 due to heart and kidney problems. Tragically, Sione Luaki was only 35 years old when he died. All Black 973, Choeli Vindiri, was 1.90 metres tall also and 100 kg flying on the wing. He played 71 games for Counties Manukau from 1994 to 2000 and 64 games for the Blues in Super Rugby from 1996 to 2001. Choeli Vindiri also played for the New Zealand Barbarians, two tests for the All Blacks. He played for New Zealand A, the New Zealand Sevens team at the Commonwealth Games in Kuala Lumpur, and the Barbarians from 1996 to 2001, when he too was diagnosed with kidney disease and placed on dialysis. It was later revealed that Vindiri had waited 14 years for a kidney transplant. So he was playing while he had these serious problems, health problems. Joely Vindiri died on 23rd February 2022 in the US due to complications from COVID-19. Sadly, he was unvaccinated, and Vindiri was only 48 years old. Inga the Winger, Wainga Tuingamala, died just 24 hours before Vindiri of diabetes and high blood pressure. The Samoan Superman was only 52 years old. and the most famous All Black ever, the man who changed the game and became its first global superstar, Jonah Lomu. Jonah Tali Lomu, at 1.96 meters tall and 120 kg in 1994, was the youngest ever All Black at just 19 years old. All Black 941, he won 73 caps for New Zealand between 1994 and 2002. He also played for the All Black Sevens from 1994 to 2001. Like Vindiri, Luaki and Inga the Winger, Lomu was playing provincial and super rugby in New Zealand around the 2000 mark, just over 20 years ago. For counties, Manukau from 1994 to 1999, the Blues from 1996 to 1998, the Hurricanes and Wellington from 2000 to 2003, the Cardiff Blues from 2005 to 2006, and club rugby in France from 2009 to 2010. At the end of 1995, Lomu was diagnosed with nephrotic syndrome, a serious kidney disorder. And by May 2003, Lomu was receiving dialysis treatment three times a week. Jonah Lomu had a kidney transplant in July 2004, and 11 years later, on 18th November 2015, Jonah Tali Lomu died of a heart attack linked to his kidney disease. Tragically, he was just 40 years old. Some may say, oh, they were Pacific Islanders, and all these big coconuts get gout and diabetes and other diseases, being obese. Sure, studies show that gout and diabetes, even rheumatic heart disease, is more prevalent among Maori and Pacific Islanders. But I say that's no excuse. No excuse for the men, I guess, but no excuse also. These men were Kiwis, All Black icons, as much as Grant Fox or Colin Meads. Lomu was the greatest All Black in history. McDonald's even named a burger after him. Lomu especially and the others generated millions of dollars through the turnstiles for the All Blacks, New Zealand Rugby Football Union and their sponsors, and all of those provincial teams that they played for over the years. In fact, when you look at their records, someone somewhere in their various provincial teams, right up to the All Blacks, must have known how sick or how at risk these guys were. That's my point. There seems to be a trend, a pattern. After all, they were superheroes, the biggest, baddest rugby players of all time, rumbling over opposition, game after game, test after test for the mighty All Blacks and all the other New Zealand provincial teams. All I'm saying is, surely they deserve better. Duty of care, especially in their lives after rugby and for the families they left behind. This is Carlton Kamea.